The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. Yes, we are back. We are back live on YouTube following the first UFC pay-per-view of the year, UFC 297, which went down last night in Toronto. We have two new champions in Dricus du Plessis and Raquel Rocky Pennington. And we'll discuss the what's next for both of them, for Sean Strickland following his title loss, and other storyline makers from UFC 297. But thank you for joining us. I am a very sleep-deprived Mike Heck, still here in New York, and joining me as always, my fellow sleep-deprived colleague from MMAfighting.com, the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the Prince of Positivity, and my best friend, Mr. Alexander Kaylee, a.k.a. Boots on the Ground in Toronto. What were the vibes like at Scotiabank Arena last night?
Crazy, amazing, amazing vibes, dampered a little bit by, to put it nicely, the lack of success on the Canadian side of things. We can probably dive into that a little more later. We did have 9 Canadian fighters in action. 2 of the women did fantastic, Joanna Robertson and Jasmine Yastav. Just big shout out. The other guys, not so great, Mike. The other guys, some of them pretty highly favored too. But it's great. It's been a really great fight week. Very eventful, as you guys know. I've been at the eye of the storm a little bit. If you're wondering, guys, my eyes are really red because I've just been crying my eyes out, Mike. Crying my eyes out. Strickland bodying me on Wednesday. My God, Mike. We talked about this on BTL. You know, I'm not even allowed to be here. My career is over. I don't know if you heard.
I know.
My journalistic. I've been a fake journalist this whole time.
Wow.
Sorry. I don't mean to hide things from you. You are my best friend, but I'm a big pony.
I was not aware of that, so hopefully I don't get punished for having you on the program.
I hope not.
But it was an interesting event. Records were broken, gate records, attendance records. I mentioned this in the post-fight show, longest watch party in the history of the watch party, because that event just lasted and lasted and lasted. But it was an interesting card. The main event was very interesting, so let's just get right into the matchmaking. Before we do that, here's how this is all going to go down. If you guys are longtime listeners of the podcast, normally we just take the social media solicitations for matchmaking suggestions. Not really going to do that here because I don't have a ton of time. I do have to check out and get ready to fly back to South Carolina a little bit later on. But what we'll do is we'll talk about each fight. If you have matchmaking suggestions coming out of each fight, when we talk about the specific fighter, throw them in the chat. We'll put them up on screen. And then once we get through the main card winners, once we get through the wild card, we'll kind of open things up for 10 or so minutes and we'll just kind of get after it. You guys could just throw in your matchmaking suggestions. We'll throw them up. We'll discuss until we run out of time. So let's begin with the main event. Let's begin with Dricus du Plessis, the new middleweight champion, defeating Sean Strickland via split decision. Very close competitive fight. Was this the fight to the death, all out blood and guts war that was promised throughout fight week? No. However, really compelling fight. In fact, I'm absolutely going to go back and rewatch this fight the first chance that I get, because it just was really high level stuff from both guys. It really was the chess match, both guys getting after it. It seemed like Strickland was kind of like wavering a little bit. And then he comes back and that's a big round five. I want to see round three again and just see how close that was. But a lot of people feel like Sean Strickland should still be the champion. And Dricus du Plessis got it done. I scored it for DDP 48-47, but I would have no issue if you scored it 48-47 for Sean Strickland. Great fight. I'd love to see these two guys get after it again. This will probably not be a friends forever moment, AK. I think we know where we're going here. Dricus du Plessis had the call out. Israel Adesanya, he said at the post-fight press conference, fighting Adesanya at UFC 300 would be amazing. Adesanya even jumped on social media and responded and said, our paths are going to cross soon. Stay tuned. And Dana White even promised announcement coming next week. So is this as easy as I think it is? DDP with Adesanya as the challenger, something we didn't expect a year ago at this time.
That would be the crystal ball pick and the logical thing to do. There's so much heat behind that fight. I said it before, I think, on one of our previous shows, like it would be a shame at this point if we never get Dricus du Plessis and Izzy, just like we never got Leon and Jorge Masvidal. I know there's still a chance of that happening, but even in my mind, the ship has kind of sailed on that one. If they booked like Masvidal Edwards later this year for some reason, I'd still want it, but it just wouldn't, I don't know, it wouldn't quite mean what it could have. But DDP, great performance. And him and Izzy, all the fight buildup, as ugly as it is, some of it great, some of it ugly, feels like it'd be a waste, right? It's a waste of all that promotional time if we don't get these guys back in the cage, not just facing off and shouting at each other, back in the cage and actually fighting. So I do have a magic wand pick, Mike, in a second. I do want to say, I want to kind of tense in. I see in the comments, one of the closest fights I've ever seen. It was a great fight. It's definitely, I know you said it wasn't a classic, and I agree. I think probably wasn't like a fight of the year candidate, but you know, when you're there live, boy, the drama was intense. I thought DDP had a lot of trouble like figuring Strickland out early on. I'm sure I think he said as much. Excuse me, my voice completely gone. DDP said as much in the post-fight press conference, like, yeah, he's a tricky guy, man. And you could see, if you watch the first two rounds, it's a lot of DDP not jabbing. He's kind of throwing these like looping punches just to kind of get around. And it works because Sean is so unorthodox, but also so technical, so tricky to figure out. So the strategy eventually worked and he started finding more openings later. And I'm like most people, I think the third round was the toss up. I saw some people saying other rounds were clear. I don't know. Round four clear for DDP. I thought Strickland clear round five. I saw some people saying DDP could have round five, which I don't think is crazy, but that was probably one of Sean's best rounds. But yeah, the judges, all of them gave Mike McGinnis. I think they all gave Strickland round one and five, DDP rounds two and four. Three was the toss up. I agree. Three was super close. I actually had it 48-47 Strickland, which is funny, Mike, because it had a lot of people going like, oh, respect for being unbiased. And I'm like, why would I have any bias against him?
You picked Strickland to win in your predictions, did you not?
I picked Strickland to win. I gave him round three. But again, toss up. I actually think you could have given like four rounds to like Dricus. But just as I was watching live, I thought 1-3-5 Strickland. Not a robbery either way. Again, just a really good fight by both guys. It was a really enjoyable fight. So I have no bias against him. If I reveal my bias, guys, it's so you guys know where I'm coming when I talk about where I'm coming from. When I talk about Strickland sometimes, but when it comes to his fighting, I'm never going to hold anything, that might be personal between us. No, he's a great fighter. And that was a great fight. I just wish, you know, I think his opinions were a little more diverse. He's more tolerant, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to rehash that stuff, but it was a really good fight. Strickland lived up to the hype as far as the fans go. Fans want him to come out there and put on a show. And man, he left it all in there. It was not the highest paced fight early on, but by the end, I thought it was a great fight. So I was really happy to see that one cage side. Mike, I'll say real quick, my pick. I want this to happen. Maybe I'm being selfish, but I want this to happen because this man who I'm going to pick deserves more in life.
Oh, and no. I know where you're going.
Storyline here. but it requires a lot of things to follow. Let's say Izzy, for whatever reason, isn't healthy enough to make 300 or 301 or 302, whenever they try to make DDP. Hamzat's out there, but maybe one of the most unreliable fighters on the roster as far as actually getting him in the cage. So I could see DDP and Izzy getting booked, but then falling out. They need to call someone. Like, they need to call someone into action, you might say. They need to call the action man. So I'm not saying this is the fight that will be announced. I'm saying somewhere, somehow, in 2024, Extreme Couture strikes again, and we get another one of that gym's fighters in the cage. Sean Strickland's BFF. How fitting would it be if Chris Curtis finally got himself a title shot? I would love it. I don't know if he would beat DDP. I actually think he has it would be a competitive fight. But I'm a fan of Chris Curtis, a fan of what he stands for, and which is, by the way, when I say what he stands for, I mean just having really fun fights and being a goof in at post-fight press conferences. And it's just, I think that's the kind of weirdness that would fit. So give me, this is a magic wand pick, not what I think will happen, but Chris Curtis and Drinkus Duplessis.
I should have known you were going there. I thought you were going like in a totally different direction. I thought you were going to go to a guy that like never, ever, ever gets mentioned in these conversations, but he's probably, from a meritocratic perspective, should be. And I thought you were going to go with Jared Cannonier for some reason, because
I don't know. That's okay too.
That's certainly not where I'm going. Chris Curtis might be vying for the middleweight title after UFC 297, if we're being honest. So maybe it happens. I mean, what a story it would be. I'm going with the Izzy fight. I do think the UFC is going to do everything in their power to do this at UFC 300. Yeah. I think they saw it worked out because Strickland won the belt and we got a couple of different big fights, and Strickland became, very popular star, number, needle mover, etc. They're going to do the Izzy fight. I think they're going to do it at 300. Drinkus seems like he wants to go. I mean, he was dinged up in the face, got a lot of leg kicks checked, but seems like he's rip-roaring and ready for UFC 300 and a chance at a pretty big payday, which is what he would get if he does get the main event spot in that fight, especially with Izzy and everything else that's on that card right now. So, yeah, that's where I'm going. This happened on the People's Pre-Fight Show, but the chair in the hotel is just kind of trash. So, like, my chair is going to slowly lower as this progresses. So if you go – so I'm not going to lie to the world – when I go to the solo screen of AK, it's me adjusting the chair so I can get back to normal height, because I just literally am slowly sinking into the ground right now.
Revealing the movie magic, my best friend. This is how this. Everyone thinks, man, Mike is so immaculate all the time. Everything's perfect. Mike is making these adjustments on the fly, guys, to keep these streams pristine.
For Sean Strickland, I understand that there's another option that is very popular in this title conversation right now. It seems to be a two horse race. And I think the other horse is ready to fight Sean Strickland. Give me title eliminator, because Strickland is going to be in the mix still. Give me Sean Strickland versus Khamzat Chimaev. Give me that effing fight. I don't know. Like, I'm so fascinated by that fight. I'm also incredibly fascinated by what DDP versus Khamzat Chimaev would look like. The two kind of wrecking balls getting after it. If Khamzat can't get DDP out of there early, what's that fight going to look like down the stretch? And same thing with Strickland. Like, if Khamzat can't put Strickland away in like the first 6 or 7 minutes of the fight, like, is this one of those fights, especially if it's a five rounder, is this one where Strickland could just turn the tide and just pour it on? And if Sean Strickland goes out and beats Khamzat Chimaev, I don't care who's champion. I don't care what the history says. Sean Strickland's getting a freaking title shot again. There's no doubt about it. So I think the closest path, the quickest path to a title, and probably the biggest fight available right now for Sean Strickland, unless you want to just get real weird and throw him in there with Colby, which I'm not all that interested in from a competitive perspective, but give me Sean Strickland versus Khamzat Chimaev. This might be more magic wand, but I think the UFC could put this fight together and it would be freaking insane. So that's my pick.
I think we can cue up the music here, right?
We doing obvious. It?
Yeah, let's cue up the music.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Friends forever. Next time, by the bell throwback, yes.
Yeah, I got to try a falsetto sometime. I realize I never do the falsetto enough. People are always like, oh, can Alex sing a little bit higher? And it's like they never, I got to give it to them. I got to give it to them next time. But yeah, Khamzat's just a really good pick. I think after Khamzat's really close win over Usman, I had said just throw him into the title shot. But they did the right thing. They gave it to DDP instead. Here we are. DDP's the champion. So Hamzat's got to move on to something else. Strickland is a very good option. And I think you're right, Mike. Like it's an intriguing fight because sure, Hamzat could bulldoze Strickland in the first one or two rounds. Could happen, no question. But also, I mean, if you're going to pick like a kind of a character to derail the Hamzat hype train, Sean Strickland would be really tough. He's a good grappler. People watch the fight on Saturday, man. I mean, DDP has really good grappling as well and good wrestling. And he was getting deep on some takedowns and got some takedowns and couldn't really do anything with them because Strickland's defense is pretty tight. Now, I think Shamayev's like on another level from a lot of people, but he's got to prove it. He's still got to prove it against some of the better names. Because he didn't like, I mean, he did dominate Usman on the grounds at times too, but let's see him do it against Strickland. So a lot of heat there. Trash talk could get pretty ugly, but also, hey, that's what people want. Strickland was a star this week. Again, his comments, politics, don't agree with it, but connection with the fans, off the charts in Toronto. Off the charts in Toronto. He really doesn't need the belt. I asked Dana about the press conference, and Dana was kind of bullish on like what they're going to do with him next. But I said, like, I essentially said with my question, like, you got a star on your hands, Dana. Love him or hate him, you got a star on your hands, and it's really going to be interesting what they do with him. But he can't fight the Apex anymore, right? That's just a waste, right?
Sean?
Yeah. We never.
I mean, if you're looking at it from like a UFC business perspective, probably not. But from a Sean Strickland perspective, that dude will fight at the Apex.
I know. Of course he will. Of course he will. But what a waste. What a waste at this point. And again, guys, this is a conference summit. You heard the controversy. If it was up to me, Sean Strickland would be fighting in a basement somewhere. But if you're the UFC and you're trying to make money, again, whatever it is, that he connects to that fan base, it'd be really weird to see him in the Apex again. But you're right. He's not saying no. For him, if he's not getting pay-per-view points, the paycheck's probably the same. So why does he care, right? Why does he care whether he's fighting in front of 20,000 people or in front of 150 people as long as the check clears? But it does feel like they're going to have to keep him for more special occasions, I would think.
And on like I don't even know if the I think the press conference would be fun. I don't think the trash talk would be that bad. I honestly don't. Like these two guys, like for a while when Hamzat was fighting in Vegas and fighting in the US, when that was like a more consistent thing. When Hamzat got to the U.S., where did he train? At Extreme Couture. I'm sure these guys had tons of rounds in the gym. I'm sure they have a mutual respect for each other. Will things get a little weird? Probably. But I don't think the trash talk will be as bad, honestly. So, yeah, that fight, God, I think that's super interesting. And I think that's a great, like, I guess, title eliminator from a UFC perspective. So, yeah, sign me up for that. If you could throw both those fights on 300, holy shit. That'd be pretty wild. I don't think it's going to happen, but that'd be pretty insane.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the other new champion, AK. Women's bantamweight is back. It is back and better than ever. Raquel Rocky Pennington gets it done. Dominant win. Almost got Myra Buena Silver out of there in round five. Pennington gets it done. Second crack at gold. And over a decade in the UFC, Raquel Pennington can finally call herself champion. Again, I wish I could throw you a little monkey wrench or throw you a little surprise pick, but this one is about as this is the most obvious pick of all. It's Raquel versus Juliana. That's going to happen. I don't know when. I don't know how. I think you saved this for the tough finale, and that's the main event. I'm going back to that well.
Yeah, no friends forever here. What it has to be Juliana Pena. This fight was hyped up by Bueno Silva and Pennington before they fought. It's such a joke that they were talking more about Pena. They were talking about each other. But I guess there's a reason for it. Again, the fight was, when I started seeing that site, I can't talk, guys. We got out of the press conference yesterday at 4 in the morning because Dricus Duplessis didn't show up to like 3:15 or something like that. I guess he was on South Africa time. It was wild. So my brain is not functioning. But yeah, I said the Strickland-Duplessis fight was even better live. Pennington's Bueno Silva fight probably was also better live, but still not great. And you guys heard the crowd on the broadcast probably not happy with it. So it has to be Pena. That fight will have a lot of juice. I don't know how good of a fight it'll be, but again, much like Strickland, she engages the crowd. She's got a connection. So that fight has to happen. I want to read one message, Mike. I know we don't always do this on the live shows, but it's it's another option, apparently, for Pennington. I'm all for it. This is from Hemish Patel. Hemish, thank you. Welcome to the party, pal. Long-time listener. And there's sending in a doo-doo pick, Mike. This is a doo-doo pick on purpose. I would like to propose a bantamweight title fight between Raquel Pennington and Jasmine Yassidavicius. Wow. The reason being, I know, and by the way, guys, Jasmine, yeah, she's at 125, or she fought at bantamweight because Priscilla Cachoeira just didn't feel like cutting to 125, apparently. And he says, the reason being, I am very sad Canadian who had to see us go 2-7 tonight with like a Hail Mary attempt at winning a belt just so I can feel happiness again. Big props to the Canadian women. Shout out to Jillian Robertson for holding the fort. Thank you, signed president of the Neil Magny Hater Club. We'll talk about Neil Magny and Mike Mallott in a bit, but we're down bad up here, Mike, when it comes to the Canadian MMA scene. We're down bad. We couldn't get one male fighter a win. So, Hamish, you know what? I would love to see Jasmine get a title shot someday just so we can have some gold up north again, but it's a long shot. It's a long shot.
I'll tell you what. When we do the show following the Pennington-Pena fight, I have a feeling the options are going to be much wider with a lot of fighters who are not currently in that division. We talked about this on the post-fight show. Like, I could see a real world if Alexa Grasso's next title defense like isn't set up, or if they want to do Grasso-Shevchenko 3 next. If Erin Blanchfield goes out there and beats Manon Fiorro March 30th, she should just be like, all right, I'm going up to 135. She'll get an immediate title shot. If Macy Barber goes out and beats Caitlin Chookagian and Juliana Pena wins the belt, like, Pena's already like memeing Macy Barber. Like, she could go up there and like get an immediate title shot. Anyone surging at 25 that wants to get a title shot in the next like 2 or 3 years should probably think about making the move to 135, because there is not a lot of ground to cover. A win or two at most, and you're there.
I'll say, what if Mike? What if women's bantamweight is like the men's middleweight division? What if just by going up to 135, you accidentally just like become a women's bantamweight? Do you know what I mean? What if exciting fighters like Erin Blanchfield and Valentina and Alexa Grasso, even if she decided to go up, I don't think she would. What if they went up to 135 and just lost their powers? And what if the division sapped the life out of them? That's what I'm scared of. Because I agree that 125 feels like such a great division. And it feels like you said, there's some names in there that should consider just going up later and going for the second belt. But I'm scared. I'm scared that entering that zone just robs you of your powers, and suddenly you become a bantamweight. And I don't want to see that for a lot of these girls. So
now, normally on this program, AK, and mm-hmm. I'll let you explain, we will usually matchmake for all the title fighters. So whether the champion gets, usually it's like on an Apex card, it's all the main card winners, unless it's like a blockbuster main event with like 2 top 5 fighters, and we're like super intrigued by what could be next for the fighter who loses. But we're making a little history here. We are not matchmaking for Myra Buena Silva, AK. Why is that? I'm okay with this, by the way, because I don't think there's really a wrong answer for MBS. Just throw her in there with whoever. Like, just throw Melissa Dixon in there with her right now. Like, they'll just do that. I'm totally fine with that. But we're not match big for MBS. Why is that?
Well, she didn't do great. And we're pretty big Maya Bueno Silva fans over here on MMA Fighting. She actually entered the fight as our number one ranked women's bantamweight fighter. It was not unanimous. I think it's like, I believe it was five voted for Maya Bueno Silva. And then there's some Juliana Pena's in there. She didn't do great. Again, the division is not deep. We got to reward people on this show, Mike. We got to reward people on the show for putting on great performance. And I know, I truly believe, of course, she did her best. She put in a great effort. But I don't blame the fans. I don't blame some people watching for wanting more and for being disappointed in that fight. Even, and it's sad to say disappointed, because the expectations weren't that high for that fight. And fans, I think, were still left with kind of bitter taste in their mouth. So, but listen, props to both women. They put it out there. And it was a tough situation, again, with the crowd reaction. And also, it's, in this case, it's they're fighting for a vacant title. It's not their job to put on a show and just start slanging and banging. They've got to be in there to win. They both fought to their best. Maya Bueno Silva took the back a couple of times, and they just couldn't sustain any meaningful offense for most of the fight. And Raquel just did her thing, steady as a metronome, and got the win. But yeah, there's just, like I said, there's so many directions they go with Maya Bueno Silva, because this division is not deep. She could be fighting someone who's 1-0, 2-0 in the UFC. They could match her up with, again, one of the other veterans near the top of the card. They could run back the Holly Holm fight. God help us, because the first one's a no contest. But yes, Maya Bueno Silva, respect to you for fighting, but sadly, no on to the next one pick.
Yeah. They should, I mean, 135 should just become the bantherweight division, where it's like 135 and a, like 135 to 145. Let's just open this thing up. It's almost like the heavyweight division, but for women. Let's just spread it out a little bit. I think you can get some more intriguing fights. Maybe we can get Kayla Harrison over, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, not a great performance from Maya Bueno Silva. How about that Neil Magny, AK?
Oh,
you got it. You said this might be a little too soon. However, Mike Malott won the first two rounds, mm-hmm. cruising to a win. And then a guillotine attempt led to Neil just kind of like letting him, Mike Malott, fall to the floor. And then Neil just kind of emptied the whatever was left in the tank. And he still had more to give and just unloaded big punches. And with 15 seconds left in the fight, the referee steps in and Neil Magny stuns the Toronto crowd with a come from behind shocking win, getting a big finish. And Mike Malott, who was about to get the rocket strapped to him had he won this fight, takes a little bit of a step back. But Neil Magny, the wily vet, getting it done. Where does the Haitian sensation go after this surprising win?
Yeah, and let me tell you, before I get to the pick, Kevin McDonald gave Mike Malott a lot of chances, because Not that Magny was like crushing him with some of that ground and pound, but it was a lot of sustained and ongoing and unanswered ground and pound. And Kevin McDonald, he's human. He's aware of how much time is on the clock. It was less than a minute. He's probably aware that Malott was winning that fight. He's certainly aware he's in Canada, unless he's had like a Johnny Walker moment, forgot where he was. He wants to give Malott the chance. It's not a favoritism thing. It's just instinctively you're like, well, this guy was so in the fight. How can he be out of it? So Kevin McDonald, I don't blame him at all. He gave Mike Malott a chance. And Neil Magny, what a good job. Like you said, Mike, I picked it. And it's really for exactly the reasons you saw, that experience gap, that I've been there before factor. It's something you can't teach. And his level of experience and the people that he's fought, the fights he's been in, this reminds me a lot like the Hector Lombard fight, similar story. It's so many levels above Adam Fugit, Johan Linus, Mickey Gall, Mike Malott's previous opponents. So yeah, Mike Malott was great for two rounds. I still think he's going to do very well in the UFC, but you can't teach experience, and that's what Magny showed him on Saturday. So Mike, I'm just going for a fun fight here. Someone Neil Magny has not fought before. Give me Brian Barberena. I know Magny is cool with being a gatekeeper, would love to fight another like up and coming prospect or someone, you know, else in the top 15, top 20, but Brian's just a fun fight. Someone's going to stand and bang with him, mix the martial arts a little bit too. And I know he's been flirting with the middleweight, but I think he wants to come back down to 170. And this would be a nice, nice main card about somewhere.
I was like looking through and trying to figure out like who the next guy is that like a Neil Magny, who is like the ultimate gatekeeper or the ultimate litmus test. And I don't really see like Michael, I see Michael Morales coming up a lot. Like that's an interesting one. Is Morales fighting on the Mexico City card?
I don't think he's booked. No, I booked him on a previous. I would have loved why I think if Magny was more apt to do call outs, I think that would have been a great call out. I would have loved to see him call out Michael Morales, but he doesn't play that game.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. Not yet. I think if Morales gets another win, then we do that. Mm-hmm. I went with the loser of the UFC 299 fight between Kevin Holland and Michael Venom Page.
I actually wanted to say MVP win or lose. That's the way that was my first thought. What do you think about that?
If MVP beats Kevin Holland, they're putting him in like a number one contender. They're putting him in a title eliminator. They're gonna run with him.
It has to be the
loser. Some way.
Okay, that's fair to say.
No, yeah. Holland doesn't give a shit who he fights. He's called for Neil Magny. There's a little bit of history there. And if MVP loses to Kevin Holland, like, let's see if MVP could still be like a ranked welterweight. If he goes out there and beats Neil Magny, then they could try it again. So I'm okay with that. There wasn't like a lot of options that like really thrilled me with this. So Mike Bellott would have been a lot more intriguing for the next matchmaking. But yeah, good win for Neil Magny. Yeah. Wiley Vet gets it done. And
22 wins now, Mike.
Shout out to him.
22 yeah. UFC wins. And that was 40th pro bout. So man, hell. I'm telling you, man, just for some like Canadian reference, it was not long ago. Do you remember on the Ultimate Fighter, he got knocked out cold by a Canadian guy, Mike Ritchie, who we all thought, yes, was another guy who could be the next big thing for Canada. Didn't pan out for him. But he knocked Neil Magny out cold. And if you told me Neil Magny was going on to 32 UFC fights and 22 wins, I would have said, what the hell are you talking about? It's just got smoked. So what a great career Neil's had so far, and hopefully not done anytime soon, unless he wants to be.
Yeah. Dude just flip-flopping wins and losses over his last like 10 or 11 at this point. So man gets it done. Let's go to do you even have a pick for Chris Curtis?
Already done.
Willing this into a title fight?
Already done. He's got to avenge his buddy. For Sean Strickland getting screwed by the Canadian government up here, getting screwed by the Canadian government and getting baited, Sean Strickland getting baited into questions and that probably affected the judges. So poor guy, I think someone has to avenge him. And Chris Curtis, you know what? He can come back up here anytime, or maybe he's got to fly down to Joburg or Cape Town or something and fight Drickus. But yeah, I'm saying, I just think it would be fun. I need to see. Sure. I would love to see Chris Curtis get a title fight someday.
MMA Hour fans rejoice. Because it's coming. I've seen the emojis. I've seen it all. He's one of the most talked about fighters in the chat during the MMA hour. Has never appeared on the show, but maybe if he defeats Chris Curtis in a fight like this of this magnitude, maybe he gets his opportunity to go on the most famous show in MMA, the MMA hour. Chris Curtis versus the Iron Turtle. Is the fight I'm going with, AK. Like, let's just do it. Like, why not?
Yeah, I guess it's time. Does Jun Yong Park not have a fight booked?
I don't care. Call it. I don't care.
He just
fought not that long ago. So, correct. And I know he's coming off of a kind of a controversial loss, if memory serves me correctly, against Andre Muniz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's freaking do it.
It's a good pick. It's a great pick. Makes a lot of sense.
Iron Turtle. Let's go. Jun Yong Park.
I swear people were throwing that out before you mentioned it. I don't know. Or the syncing on the comments is off. I see a lot of people throwing up the turtle emoji for Jun Yong Park. Gotta love it.
Let's go. middleweight title will be maybe we'll have a new champion in that fight. But Turtles, I don't know. Maybe Turtle can bring out the very fun of Chris Curtis. Let's go to the main card opener. Kind of like, look, excellent fight. Between Mav Zaryboyev and Arnold Allen. High level shit.
Dana White enjoyed didn't think it so. Thoroughly. Dana White didn't think so.
He must have like misspoke. He had to be talking about Chris Curtis, Marc Andre Barrio, because how could you even think that fight was boring? It wasn't. It was high level shit. A little bit of weirdness with the knees in round three. Mm. It was so tough doing the watch party and trying to like figure out if the knees were legal or not. Seems like they were, but it is Canada. There's no replay, none of that. I don't know if Arnold gets the finish there. I don't know if that changes anything because we're just never going to know. So I don't want to like die on that hill that like, oh, well, if Mark Goddard, who had to make a extreme judgment call with a different kind of a rule set, like doesn't make that call, like, is that a finish? I don't know. And even if he doesn't finish, like, I have no idea what would have happened. But either way, Mavzar-Voloyev gets it done. I thought he clearly won the first two rounds. Round three was an Arnold Allen round for sure. So, yeah, good win from Mavzar-Voloyev. And I think he's getting a title shot, man. I think he's getting a title shot now. Obviously, that the timeline could get a little weird if Topuria wins, because you would have to think with Volkanovski's current run at featherweight, they're going to try to give him an immediate rematch. But if Volk wins, I think we're going to get Volk versus Mavzar-Voloyev for the belt. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, and I would understand the immediate rematch too. I don't love it, but it's this thing where they've set this precedent and they've given immediate rematches for less, and it's easy. And it's so easy for the UFC. This is the easiest thing for them to do if they see a longtime champion lose. Like, oh, that's one booking out the way. Let's pick one of these cards, whatever one of these cards in the next 6 months, second half of 2024 needs a main event. Boom, we can do Volkanovski and Topuria too if Topuria wins. So it's lazy, but they certainly have a good reason to do it, both from a marketing standpoint, logistics standpoint, and I think in Volkanovski's case, a meritocratic standpoint. So I don't hate it, but I would love it if they could just move on after, and if Volkanovski took a break, because it would be weird to see him get an immediate rematch after two lightweight title losses and losing his featherweight title, like three straight losses and getting a rematch. But it's unique circumstances, right? You can't really just break it down in that way. But yeah, I like the fight a lot. The only solace, Mike, I'll take, because I loved those knees from Arnold Allen. I thought all three were legal, but again, the rules are so messed up with grounded knees at this point. I don't even know where to begin. The only solace I take is that I don't think he would have finished Movsar, and he ended up winning the round anyway. So maybe it doesn't change the outcome of the fight. But again, I'm not Arnold Allen. And he's such a class guy, but I'd be pretty frustrated if I even had a chance at a finish, because those were some good knees. Those knees were connected. Every time they showed in replay to break down whether they were legal or not, at some point, I didn't care whether it was legal or not. Those were connecting hard. But I'm with you, Mike. No friends forever. Ivloyev should get the title shot. Again, for me, it would be no matter who wins. But yes, more likely if it's Volkanovski, because they probably do a rematch. But he's done. If anything, he should just wait if they do an immediate rematch, because he's 8-0, 18-0 in his career, and he's a great fighter. I know he needs to, people want to see finishes, but his skill level is so friggin' high, as is Arnold Allen's, that I don't need to see any more. He's ready to fight to prove he's the best.
Dude, he wobbled Arnold Allen a couple of times in that second round.
He's so
good. I've never seen Arnold kind of wobbled around like that. So yeah, good win. Yeah, the knees were tough, but look, I know Arnold Allen's probably a little frustrated back-to-back losses, but I still think he's a guy that could get to a title shot. No doubt about it. If he's booked correctly.
Oh yeah.
Like, do him versus like a guy like Josh Emmett. I think that's super fun. I mean, featherweight is so deep and so loaded right now. Like, even if you want to take a little bit of a step back and you want to do like, who's Danny Ige fighting now? I just wrote this up too. Shit.
So many.
Not fighting Lorenzo. Oh, he's fighting Andre Feely. Like, maybe like the winner of that fight. Like, that's fun. We could do something like that. Like, the options are there for Arnold. I certainly am not giving up on him by any stretch of the imagination. He's still pretty young, and he's only going to get better.
It was a close fight, man. It was a close fight. Like, again, Ivloyev's wrestling fantastic. It's not like he did like a ton of damage with the wrestling, and Allen's takedown defense was great. It was just an amazing fight. Like, I hate that Dana. You're right. I hope Dana was either confused or maybe just didn't have a chance to watch the fight closely and just saw it go to decision. Thought like, oh, another whatever workmanlike win for Movsar, because this was not workmanlike. It was extremely difficult. Allen was really game, and I just can't wait to see either guy fight again.
All right, let's go to the wild card round.
Do we have to, Mike? Do we have to? You picked one of the Canadian men who won, right? You picked it.
How dare you? How dare you? Even though
I'm coping. I'm coping, Mike.
So we're gonna match make for somebody we have not match made for yet, and we'll do it right now. There were two Canadians who did get victories.
Yes,
and I have a feeling that's sort of the direction we're going. I know that's the direction I'm going, but what direction are you going here?
I went with one of the Canadian women who represented, no surprise, Jillian Robertson. I thought she did great. She seems to be heading in the right direction at 115. She's got the one loss. Who did she lose to, Mike? This was literally two fights ago. She lost to Tabitha Ricci, and that's no shame in that. Tabitha Ricci is really good. And it was just her second fight at 115 in the UFC. So, you know, you're getting acclimated to a new weight class. 2-1 so far. she's got that finishing instinct, man, that I think is always going to make her appealing as a fighter. Is always, and if she just gets on a run, she's never quite put together a run. You guys can look at her Wikipedia. Never lost, never won more than three fights in a row, never lost more than two fights in a row, and she's fought top level competition. So we just got to keep moving in 115. Maybe this is a trap. Maybe I shouldn't put her against this opponent. But like, again, if we're going to start taking her seriously as a contender, let's try Angela Hill. Let's try Jillian Robertson, Angela Hill, Mike.
Interesting. I like that. I like that. Great performance from Jasmin Jacevicius. I mean, she was the low-key MVP of the card. She beat the freaking soul out of Priscilla Cachoeira. One of the more one-sided beatdowns you'll ever see, especially in a preliminary fight on a pay-per-view. This was something else. What a performance from Jasmin. Gets her first UFC finish. And I'm just going to recycle a pick I had after Jasmin's pay-per-view win in Canada after UFC 289. Molly McCann is fighting in the next card against Diana Belbita. I think Molly McCann is going to win that fight. And I think that's the fight you make. Do Jasmin Jacevicius versus Molly McCann. Let's go ahead and do that. They're going to slug it out. They're going to get after it. And I'll just do that fight. Like, could be a little bit more of a get-over fight for Jasmin outside of Canada. Like, you could do that fight outside of Canada. And it could be a good moment for Jasmin. There's just not a lot there for her right now. Because she got a ranked fighter and lost to Tracy Cortez. Good fight. But she did lose. But I just think her and Molly would be a good scrap. And I think people would be excited for it. And can only raise Jasmin's profile if she wins. And if Molly somehow beats her, like, that's good for her as well. So, yeah, let's just go ahead and do that.
Perfect matchmaking. Perfect matchmaking, Mike. Molly, hold on. I wanted to check something. Molly, what was her last fight? She lost. That was the
London one. She got finished real quick. And then by Stoli Yarenko. And she said she's going to go to 115. But she's not going to 115.
Mike, at least right now. I will have to ask, though, and I hate to call you out live on air after a show like this, but is Molly officially booked for this Diana Belbita fight?
I think so.
Are you seeing this number? Yeah. Oh, sorry. You said if she wins or win or lose.
I'm crystal balling it. I think she's going to win.
She will beat Diana Belbita.
I think she's going to win, and then you do that fight. Now, obviously, if she doesn't win, that throws things for a loop, but okay. I'm predicting a Molly McCann win in Molly McCann fashion.
I missed
and that. Then we go and do that. So
yes, she's going to become an enemy of Canada if she knocks off Belbita and Jasmin Jacevicius. So, and we'd like Molly up here. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's going to be some Canadian grudgery if it goes down this road, Mike.
Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, well, we got through our pick, so we're going to open things up. We flew through this pretty quickly. Next 15 minutes or so, throw in your matchmaking suggestions. We'll discuss, we'll talk amongst ourselves, we'll weigh in, and let's go. So we could talk about main card fights, prelim fights. You want to list off a whole bunch, like Jay Fish just did. Neil Magny versus Nicholas Dalby, I don't mind that. Mike Willott versus Jake Matthews, don't mind that. Chris Curtis, Bruno Ferreira. Fun. Arnold Allen, Diego Lopez. Holy shit. That's a good one. I don't know if they'll do that, though. Seems like a little too soon.
Jasmin
versus Ariane Lipsky.
I like the Curtis Fajeda matchup. I think, I'll tell you something. I think Curtis takes that easily. I think he's made to defuse guys like Bruno. And I love Bruno. I think Bruno's a guy who I hope is fighting the UFC for the next 10 years because I think he's just going to be such a fun guy every time he goes in there. He just always thinks someone's going to get sparked. I don't think he can spark Chris Curtis. Very few people can, frankly, and I don't think he can. I think Chris Curtis would bring out the best in him, but also beat him. So I actually like that. Mike, let me do a quick check the tapes. I know, again, it's a live show, but hey, this person's getting a live check the tapes because I don't recall anyone else picking this fight. Fedor Sweater told me that they picked this. This bout's happening on April 27th. Anshul Jubilee versus Mahashate. Maybe other people call for this, Nick. I don't know. But Fedor Sweater, if you're out there, that's a live. On to the next one. Point for you, sir. Spend it wisely.
That's how you get auto points, is you just pick the most obscure random fights. And that's how you get them, because anything like with significance is like 100 people say already. So we got a little bit of doo-doo, AK.
No.
Just a little. Just a little bit. Right off the bat from Blue Raider, 1086. Strickland versus Vettori.
Booked.
Vettori is booked. Headlining in April against Brendan Allen at the world's most famous Apex. Rocky versus Pena and the last women's bantamweight title.
This division is just getting going again. What are we doing, people?
Neil Magny versus Michael Morales. Chris Curtis versus, as we broke last night, I almost broke it on the watch party. I had not broken news on the watch party yet. We were very close to doing it. We were like an hour removed from the watch party, but broke the news last night after it was announced on the broadcast that Ikram Alaskarov is out of UFC 298 in his fight against Anthony Hernandez. Anthony already rebooked against Roman Kopylov, which will also take place February 17th at UFC 298. So Chris Curtis versus the winner of that.
Good job, Blue Raider 1086, staying on top of things. I'm going to assume they meant Vettori win or lose. You know, I'm going to give them credit. They were so good, including your scoop, Mike, in their pick. That's I'm going to assume they meant Vettori win or lose. No doo-doo there.
Jasmine Jezavizius versus Casey O'Neill. Jillian Robinson versus Jacqueline Amarim. Win or lose in Amarim's upcoming bout against Corey McKenna, happening 3/16/24. There you go. I know Jasmine has done some training in Vegas. I don't know if she trains. I don't think she trains the Extreme Couture.
And I don't think that would preclude them from fighting. And if they had trained together.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work. I think that fight could happen. I actually thought about that one too. Pennington versus Pena for UFC Apex 100, AK.
Is that what's coming up? How do people keep track of this? I have no. Oh, that would just be. That's the same thing as saying UFC Vegas, right? What UFC Vegas are we on? Like 80? I thought we were on like 84 or 85.
85 is not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday. And then 86. It'd be later in the year.
Are they counting like the COVID era pay-per-views that were in the Apex? I'm confused. I've not kept track of this number. So that's just like, they're just joking. Throwing out a random.
So like if you listen to No Bets Bar, GC doesn't call it like UFC Vegas. He calls it UFC Apex. Like those fight night cards.
Yeah. Okay. But they're not close to 100 yet, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah, they're at 85. Okay. 85 is next Saturday.
I thought I lost track of things here.
What else we got? City versus Trevin Jones. Trevin Jones is not in the UFC anymore.
He's not?
I don't think so.
Oh, look, I think you're right, sir. I'm pretty sure
he's no longer in the UFC. Tavares versus Kelleher. I thought City won that fight. I thought he won. Great fight. It was close, but I thought he won.
That was I know we don't want to harp on this. I'm sure you guys talked on the post fight show. Man, was that three splitties that went against Canadians? A couple of them justified, I think. The Sean Woodson, Charles Rodin thing was hilarious. Can I tell Bill real quick? The Sean Woodson, Charles Rodin thing. If you were in the arena, and I wasn't like in the arena, I was like most of you guys probably actually watching at home. Like, I think we just had the sound cranked up. Bruce Buffer, this is one situation where he shouldn't have done, like maybe taking a little bit of sauce off of it, because he does the elongated shaw sound, shaw. And can you remember, Charles Rodin, if you're saying it is like a little bit softer, it's like shaw, it's like almost like shaw, Charles Rodin. So when he says shaw, and they're not that similar, I understand, like it shouldn't have been that confusing. But when he said shaw, and people are in the arena, they can't hear, they can't hear clearly. Shaw and cha sound very similar. So he extends it out, and as soon as he does the shaw, you guys heard the crowd roar. They could not hear. We didn't know. We were in the media room. And even there, it was loud enough. We were like, whoa, because we thought Charles Jourdain won. We were like Sean Woodson. We were like a lot of people in the arena. And then they had the whole confusion. That was just bizarre. And I'm not, but Bruce Buffer is not in the moment. I'm not saying like, oh, he should calculate all these things.
No, it's
not even a mistake. It's like he still said the right name. He didn't mess up. He didn't say the wrong name. This was just the thing where like he couldn't have predicted that sort of sequence of events would unfold that way and just kind of confuse everyone. So it was a funny thing. Sean Woodson said after, the craziest thing that's ever happened to him in his career.
Yeah, I felt super bad for Charles Jourdain because now he's going to be memed forever. Mm-hmm. He's now the Derek Zoolander of the UFC. Like when Zoolander thought he won male model of the year, but it's actually Owen Wilson's character. And he walks up to the stage, ready to give his speech, but Owen Wilson's already at the microphone. And then I have to tell him he didn't win. Oh, my God. It was so – and then poor DC is like, Yeah, Sean Woodson won this fight. And like, boo! All kind of a crazy Charles Jourdain's heart just broke. Oh, it was so sad.
It was a weird night. Sean Woodson. Yeah, it was a weird night sometimes.
Sean Woodson versus Dan Ige, Andre Feely, loser. You like that?
Great. Great matchup. Sean Woodson, one of those guys. The ceiling is high, man. He's not, what is he, late 20s? Well, Sean, I gotta look this up. 31. But 31, yeah. And in MMA years, he's only been fighting since 2016. So it's featherweight's not a young man's division for sure. It's not like he can wait forever and just keep developing. So that's why that's a good matchup. I think either a guy who's ranked in Ige or Feely, who's a guy who's has a lot of experience. Either way, I like that matchup a lot. And Woodson at his best is just really fun to watch.
Blue Raider, Loya versus Yair Ortega winner. I think there's a good chance he has to fight again before getting a title shot, especially if Volk wins. Yeah. He might have to fight again, but I think if Volk wins, I think if Loya's next. But that's it, I think.
I don't know. I don't want to see if Loya fight again. That's not true. I want to see if Loya fight a lot, but can we not just give this man his title shot?
Chris Curtis versus Christian Leroy Duncan, striking extravaganza.
Great fight. Chris Curtis all the way.
Curtis versus the winner of Dalidze versus Imovov for the middleweight title. I don't know if Imovov is in that position.
It's hard for me to say because Chris Curtis has been in some middleweighty fights. I look at the Jack Hermanson fight. Other than a lot of the theatrics, that's like the definition of it's just level. It's just a level pace for 15 minutes. Nothing really, you know, great seems to happen. But he's also had some great fights and great knockouts. I don't know if I like throwing Chris Curtis. He's also kind of a welterweight fighting at middleweight. Oh, but you know what? That's also a very good way to become a middleweight. So, okay. Beal, you're not offline.
Where am I? Robertson versus Pinheiro.
I like it. Good.
I think someone said, I think it was corrected that they meant if Volk loses.
Okay. Sure.
If Volk loses. Sure. Where are we here? I just like lost everything's freaking thing.
Yeah, I see some people calling out for the same matchups as well. Yeah, there were some pretty, at least at the top of the card, some pretty obvious matchups to make. It does get a little, once you hit Magny and below, it does get a little like out there. But again, even Wolfstar, three of the main card fights have pretty clear options for what's next. Both the title fights and again, Wolfstar. It's either you think Wolfstar should fight for the title or not. That's really it, right? So guys, if you got good like prelim picks, we'd love to see those as well. But
a lot of Strickland versus Ian Garry. I mean, Ian Garry's fighting at 298, so.
Yeah.
Why are there no fights next weekend? Conference championships for football, so they probably don't want to get into the mix with that.
Yeah. Even the UFC staff needs a break every now and then. And guys, the UFC staff is amazing. I know people know this, people who go to more events than I do, like I've seen media, people who cover events. The UFC staff is incredible. I don't want to shout out individual names because I'm going to forget people. But like, especially in regards to what happened on Wednesday between myself and Sean Strickland, like they could not have been more professional. They could not have been more cool. Everyone, I saw people sharing on social media, like you should ban this guy. It never even came up. It's like, it's so, these guys are professionals. They're used to dealing with this stuff. And even beyond that stupid controversy, just day-to-day operations, man. They could not make things, for the most part, could not make things smoother for the media. So big, big shout out to UFC staff. Like the boots on the ground for the UFC, they're so amazing. The technical teams are fantastic. Like it really makes it a pleasure to cover an event live. So they need a break too, guys. All the UFC guys, I hope you guys can just have a vacation this week and then come back hot for again another busy month.
Dude, just like think of what's about to go down. Like they are the world's most famous Apex first two events, but the February 10th event is Super Bowl weekend, which is in Las Vegas, the Super Bowl. So that like that whole week's gonna be friggin' madness.
Crazy.
Then it's 298, then it's Mexico City, and then it was supposed to be Saudi Arabia, but now back at the world's most famous Apex, and then it's 299 in Miami, and then the road to 300 happens, and like things are going to get crazy.
Can I give one more real quick boots in the ground update? Augusto Sakai was there. I know people have been wondering all the time, where's Augusto Sakai? I assume he was cornering someone on camera, or at least was helping to train someone, but the UFC Apex resident himself was there. I've been told, I think we heard a while ago that he's been released or that his contract, that he wasn't signed to a new contract. I hope that's not true, guys. I'm sorry. I was too shy to go up to him and get the scoop. I didn't want to bother him. But yes, the great Augusto Sakai was in the building. And hopefully he does come back to the UFC and gets that Vegas residency that I've been calling for.
Yes. I think we're good. I got to pack up and get the hell out of here. Get ready to fly back home. Quick trip, as it usually is. Although we're working on something for March, where it may not be as quick of a trip. So stay tuned for that. It should be a lot of fun. But big shout out to all of you guys who checked out the watch party yesterday. Did massive views, and I'm stunned by how many views that freaking thing got. I honestly am. Like, truth be told, I told GC before we got started, I'm like, this thing does 80,000 with like how the card looked on paper. I was like, I would do a freaking happy dance if we got 80,000. And we did like triple that, which is friggin' insane. So yeah, time to move on from UFC 297. Kind of a sloggy event. The main event was fun in a lot of respects, and I'm very excited to kind of go back and rewatch that fight.
Bantamweight is really back.
Live watching. Bantamweight.
Women's Bantamweight is back, Mike. Did you hear about this? It's back. I don't know if you heard it's back.
It is so back, AK. It is so back.
Was it ever gone? Was it ever gone is the real question.
I mean, that's the real question. Mm-hmm. So no show next week, obviously, because of what we just mentioned. There's no card. But we return February 4th for UFC Vegas 85. Let's run down the card. It's actually not that bad as I look at it. We got Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imovov, the main event. Hanata Moicano, Drew Dober should be a lot of fun.
Banger. Wow.
Viviane Araújo versus Natty Ice, Natalia Silva. Aliaskab Hizriev versus Makhmud Muradov, Gilbert Urbina, AK. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Versus Charles Ratke. Randy Brown versus Muslim Salikov. Thomas Peterson versus Jamal Pogues. Julius Doliarenko versus Luana Carolina, Blake Wilder versus Jung Young Lee, Markel Medeiros versus Landon Quinones, Molly McCann, Diana Belbita, Charles Johnson versus Azat Maxim, and Temba Garimbo takes on Pete Rodriguez. So that is UFC Vegas 85 going down February 3rd at the world's most famous Apex, and we'll be back to matchmake for that back on the podcast network. So very excited for that, and then we'll do it again February 10th, and then it's UFC 298, and we'll be live following that event. So we're doing the damn thing as well, and the entire staff at MMAfighting.com. Hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy playoff football. For AK, I am Mike Heck. Always remember the golden rule. Don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun, and we'll have more fun 2 weeks from right now, right here on to the next one, the podcast. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.